Welcome to the Debt-Free Mom Podcast. This is Kyle here with Carly. Welcome to your own podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, it's wonderful. We just returned from our annual summer family vacation. We went to North Carolina. We went on a road trip from where we live in Central Illinois, drove to Outer Banks, North Carolina, spent some great time on the beach with my extended family. And we are talking about that, or I guess you are talking about that in a blog post that also comes out today if you want more information on like all the travel planning and things like that. But we decided after we had, booked this vacation, we had decided on the way back, it's a little bit out of the way, but we wanted to tag on kind of a bonus destination of stopping in Washington, D.C. for a little bit of time. So our podcast today, I want to talk to you and just ask you some questions about how we planned that trip. It's kind of going on our theme of summer travel and especially summer travel with kids on how to do that well, adding this little bit of a spontaneous stop. A lot of people were curious about, so I wanted to just kind of ask you some questions on how we did that.
Okay, I'm ready.
Cool. So we went to Washington, D.C. at the end of our trip. We drove all of our children. How long in total? Like if we didn't stop, how long in total was our total road trip?
From home to D.C.?
From home to...
Home to North Carolina is 16 hours and 45 minutes. If you put it in Google Maps, that's your road time. So we split that into 2 days, doing most of it on the first day and then just like 4 hours on the second day to get to the vacation house. And then when we left North Carolina Outer Banks, if you're familiar with Outer Banks, there's like one or two bridges onto this super long aisle that parallels basically the whole state of North Carolina. And we stayed very far up on that. Is it called an aisle? Is that what it's called?
I mean, it sounds good.
We stayed very far north on that compared to where that one little access bridge is. So it ended up being a lot because we hit terrible traffic going from the Outer Banks to Washington, D.C. But if you just put it into like Google Maps without traffic conditions, it's like 4 hours, 4.5 hours. And about an hour of that is basically driving in a giant U going all the way south on that aisle over on the one bridge that you have access to and then back north towards D.C. So unfortunately, we left on a Sunday, which Saturdays and Sundays are massive exodus off of the island as people are going back home. And so driving from North Carolina, where we stayed, to D.C. was technically a 4.5 hour drive that took us a little over 7.
Yeah, it was a grind. So I think you mentioned a little bit of this in the blog post, but when we are driving with kids, that's a very different approach to driving. If it was just you and me going on a road trip, we can wait to stop for a lot of things. What are some of the things that we did in preparation for making those long road trips? And then especially when we get stuck in longer traffic, what were some of the extra things that we pulled out?
Yeah.
Whether intentionally or accidentally.
So I did have the thought as we were going on this trip that it was the least prepared I had to be in terms of activities. So in years past, when we've had 5, 3.5, 2 and a newborn kind of age, I felt like the bulk of my packing was like, what activity am I going to hand them every 5 minutes because their attention is going to, give out and they're going to scream. So Ruby did that on this trip for a lot of the time, but I didn't feel the need to have like, here's this game and here's this coloring activity and like, oh, look, here's a little, activity you've never seen before, which are all tricks of the trade if you have a lot of toddlers. So we definitely had years of doing road trips where I, whoever was the passenger adult was just swapping out like, okay, give me the train track and I'll give you the coloring book. Now give me the coloring book and I'll hand you the roll of tape that you can unwind. We were doing a lot of that.
There's no passenger princess in our car at all. It was you're working for them.
No, there's no passenger princess and it's usually a passenger prince. So I did have that thought of like, oh, the kids are getting older and I don't have to do that much prepping for how to keep them busy. I do still alternate screen and non-screen activities so that we're not just like if you try to play three full-length movies in a row, they're over it. They're not interested in doing that. So having movies, having a giant haul of library books that they haven't read yet that they can swap through, and then just like us being willing to, I think on the second day you did a, like, we had a bag of Skittles or something, and you did a trivia game. Like, I was driving, and he was just like asking them in a like game show host voice, like, Jude, what are the top three, you know, ocean animals or whatever? And then Jude would just like come up with random, it was peanut M&M's.
Yeah.
And then he would just like throw a peanut butter M&M at them, and they thought it was hilarious. So you got to get creative with that, but it is manageable. And in the same way of flying or being in a plane or a car, like, as bad as it is, like, the vehicle is still moving to the destination. So, like, it's not going to be pretty. You're not all going to think this is the best 16 hours of our lives, but you get there.
One of the pieces of advice that I feel like I've shifted on in the last few years when it comes to road tripping is I took a piece of advice from one of my favorite stand-up comedians, Dustin Nickerson, and he had this bit about how the highest level of love that you can show another human being is getting them gas station snacks.
Mm-hmm.
And so we stopped and actually got stuff from like gas stations or convenience stores way more this trip than we ever have before.
And by way more, I think it was like free time.
Right. Yeah. It wasn't like every single time we were loading up, but
yeah.
To let all three boys like pick out a big bottle of Gatorade, mm-hmm. and then split it between their mm-hmm. water bottles, and they got to like pick out the flavor and stuff. Like, they were,
yeah.
I mean, there was obviously some negotiation and maybe a few tears on deciding what flavor they were going to get, but
yeah.
they loved the being able to stop and get a little treat. Another easy way to break up the longer road trip.
Yeah. Another big one that I talked about a lot on Instagram, but I'm not necessarily explaining it in the blog post or the newsletter, so I'll go ahead and talk about it now. Is that when you are road tripping specifically and you're driving somewhere for a long time, when you stop because you're like, okay, everybody needs to get out or somebody needs to go to the bathroom, the last thing that kids need is to immediately walk into a restaurant and sit down again. So I think only one time on the entire road trip there or back did we actually like sit inside of a restaurant and eat our meal at Wendy's, I think, on the...
Yeah, and that was entertaining because there was a guy who came in to use the restroom and his dog got out of his car and was running around the parking lot.
And we were eating our food and then a Wendy's employee just like came into the dining area and was like, does anyone have a dog in their car? And then this guy was like, yeah. And she was like, well, it's running around the parking lot.
At the same time, there's a grandma coming in holding her young granddaughter, like maybe two or three. She's like, everybody's out there trying to catch that dog.
Oh, that was entertaining. Yeah. But that was on like, that was day like 9 or 10 of this 11-day trip. So we did not really sit down in restaurants. So my piece of advice is to pick up food or eat food in the car while you're driving. And then when you stop at a park or a field or a big parking lot. I know somebody who has slightly older kids in mind said they don't need to stop at a playground anymore, but they keep like a frisbee and a football in the van. And then when they stop, they just find like an empty like school parking lot or something and just play catch and kind of run around and do that. So the more we have leaned into doing that, the better the time in the van goes, because you tucker them out, especially if you're traveling in the summer, they're now hot and they're ready to get back in the van. Like, they want to get back in the van and sit down as opposed to being like traumatized by getting back in the van. So we did parks, I think, one time. So the very first day, the day before we left, I bought Lunchables at the grocery store and I made mini muffins. So we left at like 5 a.m. I handed them mini muffins and apple slices for breakfast in the car, so we didn't have to stop for breakfast. We did like a mid-morning stop where I got, I think, a couple Chick-fil-A chicken biscuits and we all kind of shared stuff. So we didn't have to do a full, like everybody gets a full meal kind of thing. And then for lunch, they ate their Lunchables in the van while we were still driving. And then we picked up Chipotle, I think, for Kyle and I. And Kyle and I sat at the park and ate our lunch while the kids ran at a playground that we had never been to before. So they're all about, you know, sprinting around and doing the slides and all that. So that is definitely something that if you're intimidated by the idea of road tripping with young kids, and by young kids, I mean like 12 and under, just keep in mind that when you stop, they don't need to do more sitting. They need to move their bodies.
Yes. So those, I think a lot of those things we're covering in the blog post that we've mentioned. So we're kind of hitting both sides of our trip. What I love to talk about more now that we made this not quite spontaneous, but we didn't plan out what we were doing in DC until maybe 2 days before.
Well,
we
and
left.
we had talked about like this would be nice to do, but we also knew sometimes vacations go south and you have somebody in your immediate family that is just where you can tell like we just need to go home. And so we had talked about doing this because you had done this as a child, this almost exact same trip, like right, Outer Banks and then DC on the way home.
Yeah, my extended family did a big beach house when I was probably 9 or 10. And then on the way back, we stopped in DC for like a day and saw all the big stuff and then drove home.
Yeah. So I did not. So we had discussed it, but I did not actually book the hotel in DC until I think like Wednesday or Thursday of our actual vacation. Like we were in North Carolina and I booked it for like 4 days later because we were like far enough into the week where we were like, okay, like let's go ahead and plan on doing that. For reference, it only adds 1 hour of driving time to go through DC on the way home from North Carolina to Illinois.
Except when I had put in Google Maps coming home, I don't, for whatever reason, I had switched the setting to avoid highways. And so
I was feeling like it was my fault. We spent a whole day thinking I had booked a hotel in the totally wrong location and that I had somehow inadvertently added 4 hours to our trip, because I was very sure that I had booked after we left DC, that I had booked a hotel in Pennsylvania, essentially on the route home, and that as long as we got there by our first day in DC, we would only have 8 hours on the second day. That is what I had booked it under. And then he was looking it up on Google and he was like, that's not right. Like, this isn't on the route on the way home. And we have 12 hours the second day, not 8 hours. So we, okay, we're getting ahead of ourselves. But after DC, we drove a couple hours west to get ourselves closer to home. And we got there like a little after midnight and we were awake and back on the road at like 6 a.m. under the pretense that we had 12 hours of driving time. And then once we actually woke everybody up, got them in the van, opened Google Maps to start our final day of driving, his phone Google's map settings were set to avoid highways. So, of course, it's going to take significantly longer to drive across the country without using the highway. And once we put that in, it went from 12 to 8,
yeah,
which is what I had.
So morale greatly increased early in the morning.
But also I have the thought I could still be sleeping.
Okay, so let's back. I have one more story before we get to DC that is going to be one of those things that our kids remember literally forever. We are in this dense traffic. We're stop and go. We are pretty close. We're pretty close to DC. Like, I think we're within an hour of actually getting there, but we got to stop. Like, everyone's got
to. We were in crawling traffic pretty much the entire way from North Carolina to DC. I think we were able to get up to like a full 70 miles an hour for like maybe one of those 7 hours.
Yeah. So we gotta stop. Kids gotta use the restroom. So we pull off, we find a spot, we go in, and I took our three boys into the men's restroom together, and we fill that place out. And so we're in there just waiting, and this guy busts in and he whips around the corner, sees that the first stall is full, goes to open the other one, knows it's locked, and goes, ah! And then just starts peeing in the garbage can.
For children.
And he then starts, like, as he's going, like, immediately, like, profusely apologizing. Like, man, I just got to go. I'm so sorry. I didn't want to pee on myself. And I, you know, not wanting to make, he was obviously very embarrassed about it, not wanting to make it worse. I was like, hey, it happens. But some of us, it does not.
It does not happen to all.
It does not happen to all of us. All three of our boys who were with me
by the way, ages 5, 7, and 9.
Yeah, just bug-eyed. Like, looking at me, looking at the sky, looking literally everywhere in the room, like, trying to find some sort, like, is this reality? Am I in a dream? What's happening? Very, very confused. So then when he was done peeing, he left. And then as we were walking out, he was at the counter ordering chicken, just on his way. We get back in the van and immediately our boys had turned from like white as a ghost.
Speechless.
What is happening to, they were all just doubled over laughing as they were getting in the van trying to tell the story.
When they came out of the gas station, you know, the oldest like ran ahead of Kyle and jumped in the van and he like opened the door and just looked right at me. Me and Ruby were in the van and he was like, a guy being in the ghost van. Like he couldn't get the sentence out fast enough.
Oh man.
So, yeah.
Memories.
Yes. Okay.
So then, can we get to DC?
That felt like the traffic that we were in. That was quite a tangent.
If you're not paid once a month, why are you budgeting that way? A monthly budget ignores the fact that sometimes your expenses are due before the next paycheck is available. A pay period budget is built around your unique pay schedules so that your money doesn't feel like a mess. Create an accurate, realistic plan for getting the most out of each paycheck. Get started budgeting by pay period today with the best-selling budget template and mini course from me, Debt-Free Mom. It's available for just $9 at debtfreemom.co/template. I spent years feeling frustrated that my money wasn't working the way it should. It wasn't until I discovered the magic of budgeting by pay period rather than by month that my money started to feel stable. Pay Period Budget Academy is my signature budgeting course that helps hundreds of women take control of their home finances. Join today at debtfreemom.co/PBA and use the code podcast at checkout to get 20% off your membership.
So we arrive at DC and I had booked the hotel a few nights before and had no other set plans aside from that. So it was just like, we're just going to go. I got a hotel as close to the National Mall as I could for a decent price. If you want to spend $900 a night, you can get like right close to the mall, but we were relatively close. So used credit card points for that and was able to find a place that allows six people in one room, which is a big deal for us because going from one room to two is obviously a much larger expense. So here's an interesting thing about DC is it is free street parking on the weekends and evenings. So they're trying to de-incentivize people who work in DC from driving in and trying to park during the work day. But we got there on a Sunday and our hotel had a valet parking deck that you could pay $50 for overnight parking, which was honestly my plan. But he was the guy who was helping me check in at the hotel. He was like, how tall is your vehicle? Because this is not going to fit in our which is very low clearance. They had a 6-foot clearance parking garage. So basically cars.
Like maybe our van would have fit. Like I'm not even confident that it would. But we were also driving with a topper.
And a roof rack.
And so we ended, and it was just street, for those of you planning your visit around this podcast, free street parking on Sundays, not weekends.
Not weekends.
Right,
okay.
So Saturdays.
So we arrived on a Sunday and it was free.
Yeah. So, we pull up in front of the hotel, drop Carly and the kids off to go check in. I kind of do a loop around to get to valet parking. And while I'm waiting to do that, Carly texts me. He's like, hey, you just got to find street parking.
Yeah. The guy that was helping me check in, he was like, it's Sunday. The parking is not even, you don't have to pay for street parking until 7 a.m. on Monday. So you can like just park your van in a street parking spot. And then at 7 in the morning, start paying the street parking rate.
So that's what we did the whole time we were there. It was like mobile app.
You only pay for 2 hours at a time, but the vehicle could continue to be there for more than 2 hours as long as you paid. So it was like every 2 hours, you would log in and pay $5.05
for
2 hours.
That worked out.
Yeah.
The tricky thing was because we had a topper, I didn't want to leave that just like on our van. So we took it off, shoved it into the middle of our van. Locked the door, and then when we left, we had to put it back on top and strap it back down. So
we looked like a scene out of, I don't know, something ridiculous when all four kids were lined up on the sidewalk with suitcases and stuff.
Yeah.
And then Kyle and I are just like shoving this topper into the side door of our van. And obviously then like the van can't actually be used. Like we can't sit in the van with the topper inside of it. So we were just stuffing it full.
Good times.
But that ended up working out. So we got there Sunday later than we had expected to. But because of that, we were able to check right into our hotel and then checked in, kind of changed in and figured out where we were going to stay, got the parking handled. And then that first night, we walked to District Taco for dinner.
And that Shout out.
Kind of, yeah, it was good.
No
kind
ad.
Of along, it was probably a 30-minute walk or something. It was directly west of our hotel in the direction of the White House. So that was what we wanted to do, was that like the going to the front of the White House is on the north side of it. And then the National Mall with all the like the monuments and everything is on the south side of the White House. You probably heard about the South Lawn is something that's talked about. That's between the White House and the National Mall. So we wanted to do that on the first day so that we then would not have to go all the way up there on the second day again. So we walked up there, walked in front of the White House. Our kids, again, are 3 to 9. So our older two definitely knew what the White House was, who lives in the White House. When we got in front of it, I said, "This is the White House." And our 5-year-old said, "What's the White House?" And I said, "It's where the president lives." And he said, "What's a president?" So he, you know, he and Ruby were not really necessarily tracking with the weight and the history of what we were seeing, but they tagged along. So
yeah, and some of those buildings are pretty tall, so they were pumped about that.
Yeah, and just vastly different looking than anything we see here. So that, you know, that's interesting too. It was in the evening, so by the time we got in front of the White House, it was at least 7 p.m.
Yeah.
And so I think that helped with crowds, too. It was not that crowded. There's definitely people. There's a lot of people wanting to get pictures directly in front of the White House and stuff. A lot of people asked. I had a question box about D.C. when we first got back. A lot of people asked about protests. That was not really an issue. We went to D.C. 9 years ago, just the two of us, and you're always going to, if you go to Washington, D.C., you're always going to see people like picketing something or holding signs about something, or, you know, something was painted on the side of a building or something. But there was not obnoxious or obstructive, you know, like it was not when we were standing directly in front of the White House. I think I saw like 6 different people holding different signs on a stick and they weren't even like saying anything. So it was not anything distracting. So anyways, then we walked all the way around. If you walk on the other side, so onto the west side, then you go by the executive building, which I think is much more beautiful than the White House and is a lot closer to the gate, like where you can see. So you can really get an idea of all the architecture and the magnitude of it. And then around that next to the South Lawn and into the National Mall, and which that ended up being gorgeous at sunset. So because we had gotten there later than we wanted to, we were up right standing under the Washington Monument, kind of, which you can do like a 360 from there to look in, to look east to the Capitol building, to look north to the White House, to look west to the Lincoln Memorial across the reflecting pond. And then all around that are like the Smithsonian museums and stuff. And so because of like the sunset, summer sunset, so we could be there at like 8 p.m. and the sun is still up, I loved accidentally getting there later than we thought.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty cool. So we put in a lot of steps that evening. We stopped at an ice cream truck, which was the most expensive ice cream we have ever purchased.
Fraud.
And then we walked back to our hotel, past the Capitol building, got to see a couple other things. So that was pretty nice. The next day, we got up pretty early and hit the town again. In that time, Carly had found like the circulator bus system that goes around the National Mall and a few of the other stuff. Do you want to tell a little bit about that?
Yeah. So our hotel, I can't remember the George Kempton Hotel. That's what it was. Our hotel was probably a 15-minute walk straight north from the Capitol building, but it was a 3-minute walk to Union Station. And Union Station is one of the stops on this circulator bus, which is part of the public transportation, but unlike a city bus that like runs on a schedule and kind of goes in all different directions, this just continuously takes one loop in one direction that you can find on a map. And you don't, it's like every 10 minutes roughly, it's going to be at all of the stops on the circle and just continue to go around. I think they had 3 or 4 going around that loop. And one of those stops was Union Station, which was really, really close to our hotel. So we walked over to Union Station, which is gorgeous in its own right. It's a beautiful train depot that kind of connects some of the bigger trains that go farther, as well as the underground metro in D.C. And we went in there and had coffee and breakfast. So we got Blue Bottle Coffee for Kyle and I, which is a really good specialty coffee. I think we first had it in New York City. Is that right? You had it previously. But I first had it in our first trip to New York City. But very good coffee. And then in the food court of the Union Station, they have lots of different options. And we got Chick-fil-A breakfast. So then from there, we were able to get right onto the circulator bus. So the circulator bus is $1 per person. Kids 5 and under are free, or kids under 5, I think, are free. It used to be an entirely free bus system, and now it's $1. But many of the drivers that we encountered, I think, are still used to it being free. Because one time a driver was like, just get on and don't pay because I'm late. So he was like slightly later than schedule. And so he didn't charge us. Another one said that their machine was down, like the machine that when you walk in to either tap your card or put your dollars in was down. And so I was trying to, I had a card that I could pay with, and he was like, just get on. So it was supposed to be $5 each time we got on it based on the ages of all of us. And I think we only paid that three of the six times that we rode it, maybe. Yeah. So that ended up being very helpful because we only had a very small umbrella stroller that held Ruby, but Ruby and Jude really needed breaks from walking / not walking at all in Ruby's case. And so getting on the bus made a huge difference in what we were able, how much we were able to do that day, because we were able to ride around as opposed to walk everywhere.
Yeah. So the things that we chose to do with our kids as we kind of rode this bus around and spent the day there, we hit up the Jefferson Memorial. We went to the Lincoln Memorial. We went to, I'm trying to think of all the places that we went to. We saw the White House again. We saw the Washington Monument.
We walked along the Vietnam War Memorial Wall, which is a very famous one.
Yep. And then we went to the National Archives building that's right there and got to see the original Declaration of Independence and Constitution and Bill of Rights.
That's where I accidentally tried to bring a knife inside.
A butter knife.
A butter knife. But still, I mean, our bag was flagged.
Yeah. Because so one of the things we did for lunch that day, we just packed peanut butter and jelly stuff in a bag. And
we stopped at Aldi the day before on the road and got snacks for the car because I was kind of out by that point. Again, that was like day 10. And I also grabbed enough to have to make sure we had peanut butter and jelly supplies and had that in our stroller. So we just sat in the shade on the National Mall and I made, you know, I think I made 8 peanut butter and jellies because a couple of the boys wanted to. And we had lunch there. And then I, without a thought, just walked right into the National Archive. But then it was hilarious because the security guard stopped the line in order to look through my bag, found it, pulled it out. It was covered in peanut butter. Like, it was like, she just kind of looked at it and then she was like, you're fine. So,
National Archives, got to see some cool stuff.
And that is free, by the way, for people who have not been there before.
Everything, besides riding the bus, everything I mentioned so far
is
free.
Yeah, we did not pay to get in anywhere. So that is free. Depending on when you go, you may end up standing in quite a line. And I was a little annoyed by the lack of courtesy that people had when you're in a very small, very dimly lit rotunda where those documents are displayed because the light is deteriorating them. They're very faded. You can barely read anything on them, but they are the actual original documents. And people were just squeezing shoulder to shoulder, shoving in. Like, people should just move left to right in a circle or have a little better flow. So I was a little annoyed by that. But you can get in and see them without paying.
And then we left there and then we went to the Smithsonian Museum of American History. Mm-hmm. And so we saw a bunch of really cool exhibits there.
That was definitely not geared toward the age of our kids. Like, Kyle and I were much more interested in it than our kids were. That's where they have the First Lady exhibit, where there's a dress from, I think, every First Lady starting at Mary Todd Lincoln. And then there were the big one that we had been to this museum when we came back in 2015, but we did not see, or maybe it wasn't on display. It was the flag that flew over Fort McHenry when Francis Scott Key wrote the Star-Spangled Banner. And it's this enormous flag that's displayed kind of laying at a slope at an angle. In, again, a very dimly lit room where the area that you walk through in order to view it is, the flag is behind glass and there's no lights at all, no flash photography, no video or anything because of, again, preserving it. And so that was amazing to see because I don't think, even if it was on display last time we went, I did not even know it was there. We didn't see that. So yeah, all the Smithsonians are free. You can book like slots in advance, times in advance. I didn't even look at it. By the time I even looked at doing that, it was full for like the advance entry, but that doesn't mean you can't get in. It's just like a guaranteed, that might even be like a COVID holdover kind of thing. So there are 4 or 5, I think, different Smithsonian museums around the National Mall. They're all free. So that made it easy to, like, we can go in and we're not paying $150 and then the kids hate it and we leave, you know, 45 minutes later. We kind of did a quick breeze through of hitting the high points of that museum and called it good.
Yeah. And I think that was, we probably could have extended it to 2 full days doing basically the same thing that we did. But I felt like if we wanted to see every single one of the Smithsonian museums, mm-hmm. then yeah, it could have been longer. But for our kids, for what we wanted out of the trip, a day and a half was like the perfect amount of time.
Yeah.
Got to see all the stuff. For our older kids who already had a reference for what some of it was, they were able to see it in person and kind of put some context to it, which was really cool.
Yeah.
And then for our younger ones, it was just like when they start to talk about the president in school or some of these more famous monuments, mm-hmm. they will have hopefully a memory.
Right.
Or if not, they will at least have a picture of them standing mm-hmm. in front of this thing that they didn't care about at the time.
It's kind of like New York City, that if you get into like the heart of Manhattan, you don't really need a plan, because if you just walk in any direction, you're going to see something really cool and iconic that you wanted to see, basically. And so, like, as we were just walking from A to B in order to get to somewhere that we really wanted to see, then we would be like on our way to dinner the first night, we ended up walking right past Ford Theater, where Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. We weren't even intending to go see Ford's Theater. It was just on the route from our hotel to dinner. And so just being in that circle, I believe the circulator bus does also go across the Potomac to drop off at Arlington Cemetery. I can't remember if that was true or not. We went when the two of us went, we went to Arlington. We did not go this time because I think the kids would not. It would be like, why are we looking at this?
Yeah.
And they're just young enough.
We filled the rest of our time.
We were moving from the time we woke up to the time we left. So very full, very exhausted. I think I clocked over 6 miles on my watch both days. And the first day, we didn't even get there till 4 p.m.
Yeah. So it was a great time. I think some of my takeaways just for travel in general from that trip were, I think we learned a few new tactics for getting kids on the road and keeping them engaged. You know, some of the things we have just learned over time, but if you're like I mentioned, the gas station snacks was mm-hmm. a good addition to this trip that we hadn't done before.
Mm-hmm.
And just finding a few, like, you know, different kind of parts or playing different games.
Our first road trip where we could plug our Nintendo Switch into the van DVD player. We've always had a van DVD player. Even my 2004 Toyota Sienna had a DVD player. So that's always been something I've been able to find from used vehicles. But this Honda Odyssey, this is our first trip, long road trip in this van, because last summer we had a van that I thought we would have for a lot longer. And so that was fun to be able to plug the Switch in and they're playing Star Wars Battlefront or Mario Kart or whatever on the van screen, as opposed to trying to keep the little Switch propped up.
Yeah. So that was good too. And then I think when it came to actually making this specific stop, a lot of the stuff you could apply to almost any big city that you would stop in. There's so many things in a large city that you can do for free. And even if you have kids in tow for these things, there's also a lot of free things that can keep kids engaged. If you just have that filter in mind as you're looking for things to do, there's so many things that you can help stop and do that your kids will enjoy and you can make some good memories out of as well.
Yeah. And I mean, even if I was traveling without kids, I am more of a spontaneous person. I want to wait and see what I feel like doing that day, as opposed to like months before I leave, I had these specific tours booked on these specific days kind of thing. But especially with kids, being able to just do what you have the capacity for, as opposed to like, no, we bought these tickets, we have to go to this museum, even though you skipped your nap and you don't feel good or whatever. So just showing up and being like, whatever we get to is all bonus because we haven't seen any of this before, is better to me than being so over-planned that you end up just creating unnecessary disappointment.
Absolutely. So we had a great time. Hopefully this answered a lot of your questions that came in through Carly's question box on Instagram and then some. If you want to learn about the other part of our trip, you can look at that blog post that's up on debtfreemom.co right now. And
I'll just toss this in there to end it. So we spent $1,800 on the trip total, and the day and a half specifically that we were in Washington, D.C. cost about $330 between parking, a $50 hotel fee, and food, pretty much.
So if you want to learn more details about how we booked it, some of the tools that we used, some of the approaches that we took, check out that blog post. And we'll see you next week here on the Debt-Free Mom Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Debt-Free Mom Podcast. If you want to join me as a guest on the show, go to dfmpodcast.com. The Debt-Free Mom Podcast is hosted by me, Carly Hill, and is produced, edited, and mixed by Kyle Hill. Music for this episode was written by Kyle Hill. Hit subscribe wherever you're listening to join in with every new episode as we grow our confidence and contentment in our personal finances.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and diminishing our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the kind of high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe. Like vintage-style tees, tough tank tops, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, shorts, and so much more. All made right here in the USA. From growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.